Life just got a little better, thanks to Merryman Herbs.
Welcome to Merryman Herbs, it's a better life show. Listen every first and third Sunday at 2 p.m. on this station for the latest in holistic, natural, and alternative health information. Mike King will bring you up-to-date, scientifically-based health news and fun and interesting health tips, plus interviews with some of the leading doctors, scientists, and nutritional representatives in the country. Stay on top of your health and start getting a better life. And now here's Mike King. The following information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Hello, this is Mike King with Merryman's It's a Better Life show. And again, we always like to start off the show with a few little health tips. And here we go. There are 500 hairs in an eyebrow. The average human body contains approximately 100 billion nerve cells. It is not possible to sneeze with open eyes. I've tried it. I can't do it. Bones are 4 times stronger than concrete, so your bones are extremely strong. And of course, you know, it's always very, very important to get your proper forms of calcium. Again, the rock calcium probably is not as good as the natural forms from the sea algaes. The average lifespan of a taste bud is only 10 days. And did you know you were born without kneecaps and they don't really appear until the age of 2 to 6 years? And of course, children grow faster in springtime. I always thought that was interesting. Now, in the news, we've got something that is kind of turning the industry on its end. Again, this is from Food Business News, and it involves Nestle's. And there's a statement by Mr. Cantrell, who at one point had the Nestle health science business, but at a March meeting, what he said is while acknowledging the company does not have solutions yet, he said the relationship between autism and healthy gut flora that could be delivered with probiotics has been clearly established. So again, his big question is, why could nutrition not be part of the solution for people with chronic medical diseases? So we now have some major, very large corporations getting interested in our health through nutrition. And again, there is a really significant link between autism and the gut flora or the probiotics. So again, you'd probably want to talk to your qualified healthcare practitioner about maybe making sure that your child or individual that has autism is actually got great digestion and in the proper gut flora. So I thought that was really interesting. It's a big change kind of in the industry. We're going to see more and more. I think you're already seeing different additives and different things in our food. They you know, started years ago with adding, you know, the nutrition in the flours and milk and things like that. Now we're getting to the point where they're actually kind of going to, you know, say, okay, well, we're going to address this disease with nutrition. So big step there. Today, again, we have with us Cheryl Myers, who's the Chief of Scientific Affairs and Education for Europharma. Hello, Cheryl.
Hello, Mike. It's so nice to be back.
Well, we're glad to have you. I think you've been on the show for quite a few times here, but you're just full of wonderful information and new information. I think we could probably just keep doing a show with you every week. I don't know. I mean, we just started with the BCM95, the Curamin products, and I know your company makes, oh my gosh, I don't know how many different products does your company make?
Oh, I think we're up to about 120 now.
Okay, so we've got enough for shows for the next 10 years, right? Well, I want to talk about, you know, the glutathione. I want to talk about the iodine. You have some phenomenal formulations, but I think let's just keep going with the curcumin products. And today we were going to talk a little bit about curcumin and how it helps to prevent and maybe is very beneficial in those that are battling cancer. So I think I asked you the other day, how many studies on just the BCM95 are there concerning cancer? And tell us a little bit about those studies.
Well, you know, first and foremost, I always start any discussion of cancer because it's such a hot topic that there are, best of my knowledge, there are no secret miracle cancer cures.
Well, you know, there was just a show on WILL. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were talking about how difficult it was. Ken Burns, and his shows are always wonderful, but it was a Ken Burns show, and it was talking about, you know, cancer being, you know, one of the greatest maladies, and they just really are having a hard time finding a single cure, and they're now talking about there really is never going to maybe be a specific or single cure for cancer, but they have said that, you know, probably the biggest thing is prevention. Over half of the cancers could probably be prevented if people quit smoking and stay away from radiation and you know, get a proper diet and lifestyle and do some of the things that we're always talking about. But that was a wonderful show. And the one thing that really kind of threw me was that, you know, with a lot of the chemo and the things that they're doing, the targeted, you know, the genetic targeted chemotherapeutic drugs and so forth that go after the specific genes, and of course the discovery of the oncogene and everything. But the thing is the cancer can also mutate. We're kind of dealing like the same situation that we found with the antibiotics. The bacteria is mutated, the antibiotics aren't becoming effective. The same thing's kind of happening with some of the cancer therapies. So they get into this, and then all of a sudden, you know, the chemo kind of quits working on people. So we've got a really terrible disease here that's really hard to get a handle on. But an ancient root or herb, turmeric, in the extracts from that curcumin, I guess, have a lot of potential. So here we go. Tell us more about it.
Well, you're absolutely right. As I said, there's no miracle single cures, and there's a lot of people out there that are claiming that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But just because that's not true doesn't mean there aren't nutritional interventions that can have profound impact on helping to prevent cancer and helping people to recover. And, you know, you pointed out some of the most important things, is stopping smoking.
Yes.
You know, start eating closer to nature. Go get away from the processed foods.
Right.
You know, say no to the sodium nitrites and the sodium benzoates and the, you know, the different kinds, the brominated vegetable oils and the citric sodas.
Right.
And all of these different things.
Well, they always say don't buy something if you don't understand the ingredients, all those weird ingredients
you know,
on there.
So you're absolutely right. You know, you said there are some experts that believe that upwards of 80 to 90% of cancers are preventable simply by the changes in lifestyle and adjusting nutrition accordingly and eliminating some of the toxins that we're now exposed to in our chemical soup of a world.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Well,
and
that's not going to be cleaned up overnight. So I think that we need to control what we can control. And that is the type of nutrition that we are using to nourish our body to help prevent this terrible disease.
Exactly. And that's what I've always said. And I kind of jokingly say it, but the thing is I've always said, you know, the cure for cancer is going to be prevention.
Uh-huh.
You know, and after watching that show and all the studies that I've done over the years and working with, you know, talking with the oncologists and other doctors and scientists, you know, it's probably best off to try to prevent it, because once cancer takes hold, it's a nasty monster. It's just really, really hard to do anything about it. And I know now some of the latest science and research, they're just actually trying to do things to help boost your immune system, taking immune portions out of your body and compounding those and then putting that back into your body so, you know, your own natural immunity can attack that cancer, because evidently your body's already doing that anyway. But then along comes, you know, the turmeric root, curcumin, BCM95, and it kind of does a lot of that on its own. And I remember on the show they were talking about blocking the P53 gene, which basically tells the cancer cell to die. And I think curcumin kind of does that, doesn't it?
It does so many different things, and that's why it's so incredibly important, is because when we look at curcumin, which is not the same as turmeric, as you pointed out, turmeric is the plant, curcumin is the extract, only 2% to 5% of turmeric is actually curcumin. So when you need the medicine, you need curcumin. The form that we've had our studies done on, and the only form that we use in our products, is called BCM95 curcumin, which is a special curcumin blended with turmeric essential oil so that the absorption is boosted up to 10 times that of plain curcumin, so you don't have to take so darn many capsules to try to get to where you need to be.
Yeah, I don't want to eat six roots every day. have to eat a lot of curry.
that's a lot. That's absolutely a lot.
Right.
So there's been a lot of studies that have been looking at, on a genetic and on a cellular basis, what does curcumin do that helps to prevent cancer? Well, the first thing that it does is that it protects the DNA inside your cell. It is a super, super potent antioxidant. And the DNA inside of your cell is like a little blueprint that teaches the body how to make the next cell.
Right, right.
Now, if you're sloppy and you have a lot of damage that gets inside of your cell, let's say you've got those blueprints spread out on your coffee table and you spill a glass of iced tea all over the blueprint. Well, you've damaged the blueprint.
You don't know what you got.
Now,
yeah.
Right. So now when the carpenter builds the next cell, maybe there won't be a back door because that part got smudged. Well, will the cell still live? Yes, but it won't be quite as good as the parent cell.
Right. And I've always told people with cancer, too, it's a cell that's not differentiated. It really has no purpose. It doesn't do anything except for get big and push out all the other cells and you end up with a big mass that can be life-threatening.
Yes, and so that's the problem. When we have enough damage to the DNA, then the part of the cell that knows when to stop copying itself,
that's the other problem.
Gets damaged, and so
right.
It just keeps reproducing.
So you have a cell that does nothing and just keeps making babies.
You know, yes, it just keeps going on and on and on. And so that house that was supposed to be built, now you start to knock down the garage because the house just keeps getting bigger.
Right.
Now you knock down your neighbor's houses, and now before you know it, you're taking over the whole city.
Kind of like the Winchester house where she just kept adding on and adding
perhaps,
on to
yes.
it. Yeah.
So you've got those issues, so that's one
right.
way. But there's so many other ways. So chronic inflammation is one of the things that we see at the initiation
yes.
of changes in the body that lead to cancer. And there is no herbal that I've ever seen that is better at helping to modulate excessive chronic inflammation in the body by reducing inflammation in your body ongoing with a healthy diet, plenty of healthy exercise, and using an anti-inflammatory herb like curcumin.
Right.
It's not just cancer that you're helping to prevent, but all kinds of diseases that have their roots in chronic inflammation.
Exactly. We always say that, if you could reduce inflammation, you could reduce cancer, heart disease, and arthritis, you know, the big three. So,
right. And Alzheimer's disease as well. That's tied
exactly.
to ongoing
right.
Problems with it. So we already knew from previous studies, because there's been hundreds and hundreds of, there's literally been thousands of studies done on curcumin.
That's what I've seen. Uh-huh.
And they're collected in the electronic database of the National Institutes of Health. At PubMed, like public medicine, PubMed.gov, for individuals who want to type in the search term curcumin and review some of the research themselves. But there's literally been hundreds and hundreds.
Yeah,
of
you'll be there for hours.
You will be. So there's literally hundreds of studies that are looking specifically at cancer. So we already know some of the basic mechanisms. You reduce inflammation,
mm-hmm.
you reduce oxidative stress. Curcumin also plays a role in improving detoxification. Because it helps the liver be healthier.
Okay.
And when the liver is healthier, you reduce your exposure to toxins by getting them out of your body faster. So just by those three activities on its own, curcumin has some very powerful capabilities in helping people to prevent cancer.
Okay.
But once an individual has cancer, that's what scientists are looking at now, is what is it doing on a cellular basis? Well, one of the things has to do with something called epigenetics, and that's the function of sets of genes in response to the environment.
Yes, yes. That's a big area of study now.
So we used to believe that you are dealt a hand of cards at birth or at conception, and that's the cards you play your whole life long. You're set. You've got your genetics in there. That's the way it is.
Yeah, but environment now we know plays a big role. That's always been, Is it your genes or your environment? Well, we now know it's a combination.
Because they figured out that genes can be expressed or genes can go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so you still have those genes, but there's some genes that go to sleep prematurely that are very, very important. And the reason they go to sleep early is, as you said, it's in response to lifestyle factors. It's in response to environmental stressors. One of those important ones is called our tumor suppressor genes.
Mm-hmm.
And tumor suppressor genes are exactly what they sound like. They suppress the formation of tumors.
Okay.
Did you know that every single person listening to this radio show today has a couple of cancer cells floating around in their body?
Yeah, I've always been told that, we're continually battling cancer. It's just when our immune system breaks down that's when the cancer takes hold.
Or when we're exposed to something that greatly enhances how many cancer cells are being made.
Okay.
So that it overwhelms us. So either one of those activities ends up with an individual having cancer. So our body has to deal with these rogue cells every single day. Our immune system has to take them out. It has to kill them. It has to protect us. Well, the problems, as you said earlier, is that when you are looking at how we deal with this,
mm-hmm.
how we get these cancer cells out of our body, part of it has to do with the activity of the tumor suppressor gene. So what they found that there are many herbals that can help to wake up these sleeping genes. That's a term that the scientists have coined, sleeping genes.
Sleeping genes, not blue genes, but sleeping genes.
There you go. And the most powerful that they've thus far investigated is curcumin. Curcumin really snaps these on. So when those genes start to function again like they did when we were 10, 15, 20 years old, so that's one of the ways in which curcumin is so important.
Kind of a fountain of youth in a way.
In a way, yes.
Wow.
Because, you know, as we know, the older you get, the more likely it is you're going to have cancer.
Right,
cancer
right.
Cancer is very, very rare in children, and cancer is very rare in 20-year-olds. And when we start to get in our 30s, we start to see the incidence go up a little bit. 40s, 50s, the incident really goes up. 60s, it goes up further still. So they used to believe that the reason that cancer incident goes up as we age is because we're just exposed to more stuff. You know, we have pure little bodies when they're 3 years old, but by the time we're 65, we've been exposed to maybe some asbestos and some formaldehyde, and, you know, we've done a lot of things.
Mercury and fluoride, and yeah. You know, the other thing, too, that I always thought was interesting is, you know, as we age, our cellular replication really starts slowing down. You know, when you have the fetus, you know, there's a rapid growth of cells, and you know, that's where cancer could be very, very dangerous. But is one of the mechanisms that we have with aging is that our cellular function does slow down. So that, in a way, is kind of a natural, nice thing about mature. Well, what I like to call maturing is that, you know, your body's slowing down. So that kind of helps with cancer being, you know, like really aggressive, because in a younger person, their body's still developing. Their cells are more rapidly developing. They have more growth hormone and so forth. And it can be devastating when a younger person gets cancer.
And so what they found is that it's not just accumulation of exposure to toxins.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the fact that individuals, the older you get, the more likely it is that you have suppressed the activity of your tumor suppressor gene. So by waking them back up, we can really restore some of the activity of our body in helping to control this. With regards to chemotherapy, what they found with chemotherapy is that, you're right, this is what's scary to me too. Cancer cells, in some ways, have some rudimentary level of intelligence.
Right.
Like all living creatures, the thing that they're best at is trying to devise ways to survive.
Survive, right.
Yes. And so one of the ways that they do that is when you take chemotherapy, some of the cancer cells hide.
Mm-hmm.
And they make themselves, they slow down their activity, so they disguise themselves in a way, like they're normal cells, and they create what they call cancer stem cells. Then once the chemotherapy is taken away, maybe you've killed 90-95% of the cancer cells in the body, but the ones
still
that
are core, right,
are the ones that are resistant. So that's why when the first round of chemotherapy often leads to long remissions, in some cases cures, but when you do the second, you know, if you have to go through a second round, it's not nearly as effective.
Right.
And part of that has to do with certain mechanisms in the body that has to do with these cancer stem cells.
It's a resistance. Yeah.
So that's why, and I know that sounds very technical, but I'm very excited about these recent studies that have been published just in last year and this year, is they're looking at the fact that curcumin helps the chemotherapy identify these sleeping, these hiding cancer cells to root them out better, and helps to kill cancer stem cells,
okay,
which chemotherapy on its own does not do.
You just said something. So, because I know a lot of oncologists don't like their patients to take anything along with the chemo, but now, and I've read this, there's a lot of studies, and there's certain even chemotherapeutic drugs that are enhanced when you supplement, the effect is enhanced when you supplement with the curcumin products. So you're telling me that is real. It's true.
It is true, but I always add the caveat of nobody knows your healthcare like your doctor.
Right.
So don't just go out and decide you're going to devise your own treatment program without including your doctor or your healthcare practitioner in that.
Exactly.
If they want information about the use of curcumin with chemotherapy, if their doctor wants to review some of these studies, they can always come and see you, Mike.
Right.
You know how to get those to get.
Oh yeah, I can get
the
studies for them. Sure, sure. I do that from time to time too. And I think, is it fluoxetine? There's several actual drugs that are named and listed that, you know, and there's certain amounts of curcumin that were used with them for a certain effect. And I know a lot of doctors too now will do combinations they're having to do, and they're finding great success with, you know, like they did with AIDS and so forth, combinations of certain chemotherapeutic drugs. And then now it would be really exciting to see them incorporate in some of these adaptogenic, tonic, holistic herbs that, you know, I think the cancer cells would have a really hard time adapting or resisting.
You know, when they in an animal model. Now, I'm not a fan of animal research, so I'll state that right off.
Okay,
the
good for you.
But I'm, you know, I would be remiss if I didn't report some of the benefits that have been derived from research using rats. And one of them was an animal research looking at can curcumin help to forestall the size of tumors in cancer. And what they did was they gave these poor little rats this cancer-causing substance.
Sure.
That always causes cancer, always causes tumors. And what they found is that in those that were given the curcumin, that the curcumin on its own, they developed tumors that were less than half the size of the control group. And when they gave the chemotherapy, the curcumin actually worked better on reducing size of tumors than the chemotherapy did, which was 5-fluorouracil in this rat study. But when the two were combined, it was just magnificent. It was just like a solid 75-80% reduction.
Wow, that's almost unheard of, right?
It was just amazing.
That's what we're all, you know, I know all the oncologists and the scientists and the doctors and everybody involved, some of the leading scientists are looking for that great remission, and it's rare. After watching that show, the Ken Burns show, it's just so rare, and I didn't realize. I thought there was, you know, a lot greater success, and there really isn't.
You know, and so if you look at this, what this tells us from this animal study is that the combination worked better than any intervention on its own. But what it also tells us is what doctors are always worried about, that the curcumin in this case does not interfere with the activity of the chemotherapy.
Right.
It actually enhanced the ability of the chemotherapy to do its job.
That's exciting.
Yeah. There's also been a study on BCM95 curcumin looking at radiation therapy.
Oh, okay.
And this one was on prostate cancer. So a lot of men with prostate cancer, the doctors recommend using radiation therapy or a combination of surgery and radiation therapy. And the problem with the radiation is that, yes, radiation therapy does kill cancer cells, but because of the way that they have to angle the radiation crosses over men's urinary tracts.
Oh.
And so once a man has had treatment using radiation therapy for prostate cancer, very often they have some adverse, sometimes permanent, long-term effects on the function of their urinary tract. Maybe they have trouble holding their urine, or they have urgency, or they have burning, or they have dribbling. There's a lot of different things that can happen.
No, that's not fun.
No, it is not. And so in this study, what they found is they gave a group of men 6 capsules of the BCM95 curcumin prior to and during their radiation therapy, and the placebo group just got, you know, empty capsules. And they compared them, and they found that it reduced by more than a half those adverse radiation therapy damage to men's bladder or to the urethra.
Right, so the side effects were reduced, you said, by 50%?
More, depending on which. Some side effects were reduced dramatically, some a little bit.
Oh, okay.
So it was about an average. So they really greatly were able to reduce the adverse effects on these cancer patients of using the radiation therapy. And the researchers in the study, this is what I'm always looking for, noted that using these capsules of BCM95 curcumin every day did not interfere with the efficacy of the radiation therapy to do its job.
Oh, so it's like an icing on the cake, so it just makes things better.
Right.
It doesn't hurt anything. That is phenomenal.
And that was a human study. In animal studies, they have found that using curcumin actually helps to sensitize cancer cells to make them to make the radiation therapy work better.
Wow.
So they call curcumin a radiation sensitizer and a chemosensitizer. So I think that, as I said, people need to talk to their doctors. But
yeah, and I know right now, you know, again, there's a big push. I think 60 to 80% of the oncologists just don't really even know anything about alternatives or natural therapies or anything like that. And almost all of their patients are interested or doing some of that. And there needs to be some kind of a link or enlightenment or whatever. I know some of my oncologist friends are really trying to study and look into these alternatives because their patients are doing it. And the big problem that we're having is, you know, and I always tell everybody, anytime you supplement, write it down, give it to your qualified healthcare practitioner, be it you know, your general practitioner, or your oncologist, or your cardiologist, even your dentist. Give them a list of what you're taking because they don't know. And sometimes these things are extremely beneficial or sometimes they can interfere with your healthcare regimen that the doctor has you on. I mean, don't hide this from your doctor. And I think a lot of the better oncologists now are starting to open up to these alternatives because they're seeing phenomenal results and they're kind of up against the wall right now with really finding a good cure. And, you know, they're going to, I think the exciting thing is maybe they might start looking at some of these things.
Well, I think you're right, but it needs to be evidence-based. It needs to have the science behind it. And that's where this comes in, is that, you know, I'll say quite honestly, if a listener has cancer and they go to the doctor and they're going to have chemotherapy and they say, I want to take BCM95 curcumin because it absorbs up to 10 times better and it's been clinically studied and blah, blah, blah. The first response is probably going to be no, because the doctor doesn't know about it and they're afraid it's going to interfere with the therapy or cause some adverse effect.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
So I think that the next answer is okay, I hear you say no. How about I bring in a couple of abstracts or a couple of studies for you to review? Because I think that we should be participants in our own healthcare.
I agree.
And I'm not saying go against what your doctor says, but just because the first response is no, the second response is, you know, from you is not okay, whatever you say.
It's your life, yeah.
It's your life. I think the next response should be, how about if I bring this in? And I tell you, 9 times out of 10, that doctor's going to say, yes, I will review it.
Wow.
And then not only are you helping yourself, but you're helping other people as well because, you know, you can't unlearn what you've already learned.
Right.
So if you're working with your practitioner to help provide them with that information and you bring them legitimate research that was published in journals like the Journal of Cancer and Science Therapeutics. And, you know, things that are that they recognize, like, oh, my God, this is an honest-to-God medical journal. This isn't like Bob and Susie's medical journal that someone threw together over on the street corner somewhere. Then I think that the chances are that we're going to continue to increase enlightenment for the best ways to get people healthy again.
Wonderful, Cheryl. Well, we've had a great discussion with Cheryl Myers, the Chief of Scientific Affairs and Education for Europharma. Thank you so much. That was great information.
It is always a pleasure, Mike, and thank you for everything you do to help get this solid science information out to the people who need it most.
Well, it's my pleasure. The preceding information was not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Always seek the advice of your qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.